We're continuing with our journey through history to try to get us all up to speed as to the story of Joseph, how Joseph came to be in this situation, who Joseph was, what kind of heritage he had. And we've seen what a mighty heritage that he has had, because he has a great-grandfather named Abraham, a grandfather named Isaac, and a father named Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel as the Lord met with him to confirm the covenant that he had made with his grandfather. And this is Joseph. Now, we talked about Joseph being born in Haran, which is up in Turkey, north of Iraq, about 400 miles from the Promised Land. And he was born in Haran of Jacob's wife, Rachel. He was the firstborn of Rachel, and he was born in the second 7 years, the end of the second 7 year period that Jacob spent in Haran working for his wives. He got a lot of wives out of that deal, but he didn't get Rachel right away. He had to work an extra 7 years. Laban was crafty. But he loved Rachel dearly. He wished that he would have a son of Rachel, and finally she bore him Joseph in the latter period of the second 7 year period that he was in Haran. So he spent 6 more years in Haran after he had paid for the dowry for his wives, and now he was gaining possessions, he was gaining a flock, he was gaining herds. And he spent 6 years, and then he surreptitiously left Haran at the command of the Lord. So we're going to go down through this list just to get a good sense of the background of Joseph, where he came from, what situation we find him in when we enter into chapter 37. This is the age of Joseph, we believe, when he left Haran. He was aged 6, born, like I say, in the latter part of the second 7 year period. So we assume that he was near 6, 5, 6 at the most. And the Lord commanded Jacob to leave Haran. Now, Haran is up here, as I said, in Turkey, very close to the modern border of Iraq. And he came down on this would be the east side of the Jordan. He came down in this direction in here, and he had 3 days. He was 3 days ahead of Laban before Laban found out that he left with his daughters. But it took 7 days for Laban to overtake him. Of course, Laban was able to go faster than Jacob and his tribe were going. But it took him 7 days to overtake Jacob, and this was somewhere in Gilead, somewhere around this area in Gilead. Now, they came to an agreement after much discussion, and he raised up a heap of stones in memory of this covenant with Laban. Basically, it was, you stay here, I'll stay there, and never the twain shall meet, we won't disturb each other. So they raised up a heap of stones to remind them of this, a memorial. Jacob called the place Gilead and Mizpah. Now here's Mizpah, this is Gilead in this area, exactly where Gilead, or if it's a place or a region, I don't know. Now Jacob saw God's host at Mahanaim, which is somewhere right in here. Same location on the east side of the River Jordan. He sent his sons and his wives over the Jabbok River. Here as he was preparing to meet Esau. Someone went ahead, told Esau that he was coming, and Esau came from Mount Seir down here in the south to meet Esau. Of course, Jacob was full of fear because he had left his home after stealing the birthright. This was not a good situation with Jacob and Esau, and he was in fear, so he divided the parties. But he sent his sons and wives over the Jabbok River. He wrestled with God, received God's blessing, and at that point he received the name Israel from God, and he called the place Peniel, which means the face of God, God face to face. He met Esau. It was a surprising meeting in that Esau welcomed him. And Esau then returned to Seir from whence he came. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and he built a house and booths for his cattle right there, right above the Jabbok River. Now that indicates that he spent some time in that region. And I believe that the events of the trip before he finally gets to Hebron indicates a sizable number of years that he spent going from place to place before he came to Hebron. But he built a house and he built booths for his cattle. How long he spent there, we're not told. And then Jacob came to Shechem, which is across the River Jordan. So after his time over here on this side of Jordan, he traversed Jordan and he came to this town called Shechem. He erected an altar called El Elohi Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. So he was pointing to a particular God, his God. God, the God of Israel. Now at Shechem, Dinah was defiled by Shechem, the son of Hamor. There was a settlement there where the king was named Hamor, had a son, Shechem. Dinah was defiled. Now, the reason that we say that this was a fairly lengthy time here is that Dinah was defiled, but Dinah was born about the same time that Joseph was born in Haran. And we can see down here that when Joseph was 17, Dinah was probably around 17. They were born in similar periods. She may have been a year younger, we don't know, or maybe 2 years younger, we don't know. But if she was defiled in Shechem, she probably was at least 12 to 14 years old. So you can see that if they left at age 6, by the time of this event that took place, maybe 12 to 14 years old, must have been 6 to 8 years past during this trip to Shechem. This event caused the sons of Jacob to deceive Hamor, and Simeon and Levi, who were the second and third sons of Leah, they were probably 18, 19 years old at the time. They deceived Hamor. They killed all the males of Shechem because their sister had been defiled. Of course, this was very disturbing to Jacob. This was a very difficult situation. He said that all of the people that live in this area will be after us and kill us. But at this time, God intervenes, and Jacob is told to go to Bethel. So Jacob packs up his herds, his cattle, and he goes down to Bethel, which was called Luz, right above Ai. He builds an altar, El Bethel, the God of the house of God. And we're also told that Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, dies at Bethel. We're not told in the Bible when Rebekah died, but apparently she had already died if the nurse of Rebekah was with Jacob. God again calls Jacob Israel at Bethel, and the Abrahamic covenant is reaffirmed at Bethel. Remember, the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant that God made with Abraham, saying that I will make of you a great nation. I will make of you a great nation. We're told that Rachel dies bearing Benjamin near Bethlehem. So you can see that Benjamin was born in the teen years of Joseph. When this event takes place in chapter 37, most likely Benjamin is 3 or 4 years old, perhaps 2 years old, somewhere in the early years of his life. And that can tell you a little bit about how old Benjamin was when the famine occurred. So Rachel dies bearing Benjamin near Bethlehem. It was not in Bethlehem, but it was near Bethlehem that Rachel died. Don't know how old Rachel was, because we don't know how old she was when they married. Right after that, Reuben lay with Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid. This, of course, was Rachel's handmaid, who was also Jacob's wife, a concubine, more like it, I suppose. But this was an event which caused Reuben to lose his leadership of the family. He lost his birthright at this point. Jacob then came to the city of Hebron, where Isaac was living, and that's in verse 35:27. Jacob came to the city of Hebron, where Isaac was living. This is where the events of chapter 37 find us, in this little city of Hebron, or near this city of Hebron. Isaac was still living at this point. Notice the age. I said that when Dinah was defiled, I said that Joseph may have been near 13, around those ages there. Isaac dies in Hebron at 180. Jacob and Esau were there. This is 12 years after Joseph was sold into slavery. So Isaac suffered through Joseph's supposed death. At the time that Isaac died, Joseph was 29 years old. He was in prison at this time, because when he was 30, he stood before the Pharaoh, and prior to that, he was in prison 2 years at least, probably more than that, but that's when he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. So Joseph was 29 when Isaac died. He was not present in Hebron. Jacob was 120 years old when Isaac died, 23 years after leaving Haran. So these events then, from Haran all the way to the time that Isaac died, was a fairly lengthy period. And it looked like a fairly lengthy period just to get to Hebron, where the events of chapter 37 take place. And then we're told in chapter 37 that Joseph was sent from the vale of Hebron, that tells us where he was living when this event occurred, to see about his brothers in Shechem. This was about 50 to 60 miles from Hebron to Shechem. It's a fairly lengthy trip for a young lad. He went from Hebron to Shechem to see his brothers. They weren't there. He was told they went to Dothan, which is another 15 miles to the north. So Joseph lived in Haran 6 years. He lived in Canaan 11 years, but he lived in Egypt 93 years. So most of his life was lived in Egypt, because he lived 110 years, we're told, in the book of Genesis. This is just a quick summary of Joseph's life related to his age. At 17, he was sold into slavery. We don't know exactly how long he was at Potiphar's house. Most likely he was there several years, because he established himself in a way that his master gave him charge of everything. So that would take, I'm sure, several years for that to occur. And then, of course, he was cast into prison on a false charge. And at age 28, he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. His entreaties for them to intervene on his behalf went unanswered until God intervened. It gives us a lesson for us, doesn't it, to wait upon the Lord and not to try to determine events. But he stayed in prison 2 more years, and at age 30, he stood before the Pharaoh. Between the ages of 31 and 37, it says that he had 2 sons born before the famine came. So the famine years were between 30 and 37, so he had 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, born of an Egyptian woman. At age 37, the years of plenty were complete. At age 39, 2 years into the famine, Jacob and his sons come to Egypt. And then at age 56, his father Jacob died at age 147. So Joseph was 56 when his father died, and then he lived another 54 years in Egypt after his father died. So that kind of gives you a summary of the life of Joseph, where he came from, his heritage, and so on. You know, I was thinking about the Abrahamic covenant and how I would have done that. And it wouldn't have been this way. I would have tried to do it in my lifetime, wouldn't you? We're so limited to our lifetime. We want things done next week. But one thing that I've learned in the study of scriptures is God always does things. He seems to always do things indirectly. We always try to solve problems directly. You know, we see it, we want to go right to it and solve the problem. Well, it seems like God goes around every barn door, it's like that little cartoon in the circus. Is that Family Circus? The little boy, he has to go next door to borrow a cup of sugar. Well, he's got to go through every little nook and cranny before he gets to the cup of sugar. And that seems to be the way God works in our mind, because he works different ways than we work. But he promised Abraham that he was going to make of him a great nation. Well, Abraham didn't see it. Abraham had 1 son by Sarah. The birth of promise. Isaac had 2 sons. He didn't see it. Jacob had 12 sons. He could start to see something happening here. But if you left those sons in Canaan, it wouldn't happen. Because he saw those sons going all kinds of ways. And they would have been quickly consumed, as most families would have been consumed in the culture of Canaan. So it took an act of God to take Joseph and put him in a far country, put him in slavery, in order for God to carry out his purpose and plan. We wouldn't have done it this way. So, we're going to enter the account that is started in chapter 37 of the life of Joseph, knowing from whence he came and from whom he came. Now, Joseph was at 17 years of age, motherless. His dear mother Rachel had died in childbirth several years earlier near Bethlehem. She was most likely an important part of his life until he was in his teens. We believe that to be true. His father had already lived 108 years of the 147 years that God was to give him. His father was elderly. We're told that Joseph was the son of his old age. There's something special about a son of your old age. And we see a special relationship here with Jacob and Joseph as we go into this account. Now, his grandfather, as we said, his grandfather Isaac, probably nearby in Hebron, was yet alive but aged and infirm. Remember the account of the stealing of the birthright when Jacob deceived Isaac and took advantage of his eyesight, his poor eyesight. And that was 20 some years ago. More than that, 30 years ago. But Isaac was still living near Hebron. Joseph, we know, was the great-grandson of the father of those of faith, Abraham. Don't you suppose that Jacob told Joseph of his heritage? He was the eldest son of his father's favorite wife, Rachel, but almost the youngest of his father's 12 sons. We're given the fact that his brothers were jealous of his status to the point of hating Joseph. That's apparent, isn't it? Don't you think that that's apparent? But in spite of this, we see a loyal Joseph. We see a Joseph loyal to his father, even to the extent of encouraging increased hatred due to that loyalty. That's some loyalty. You know, no one likes to be hated. And if we can't do anything about it, we'll try to shed that off. But we see here that Joseph was loyal to his father. He was born in a far country, Haran, but left it with his large family at 6 years old and had now been in Canaan for 11 years. As we said, he was destined to live in Egypt 93 years of his 110 years. So the time that he was in Canaan was a very short time. And yet he gave command that his bones be carried back to Canaan, for this was the land that God had promised. Never left them. He had been told of God's hand on his father Jacob, his grandfather Isaac, and his great-grandfather Abraham. Don't you suppose that those stories were passed down to Joseph? Don't you suppose that Joseph grasped that the brothers didn't seem to grasp that? Didn't seem to have the importance that Joseph knew about this. He knew that he was part of a great plan of God to take out of the Gentiles a people for God's name. He knew that. He knew that in his soul. I'm a part of this great plan of God to take out of the Gentiles a people for God's name. He knew the covenant that God had made with his great-grandfather Abraham, confirmed with his grandfather Isaac, and his father Jacob. He knew that his grandfather Isaac had been born from a womb that was dead. We're told that. That had been passed down. Perhaps he heard that from his grandfather Isaac. And he knew that he had been born from a womb that was dead and from a man that was dead to making life in that womb. Two things against it. A dead womb and a man that could not make life in that womb. But God overrules. He knew that his great-grandfather Abraham had been willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, because God commanded it to be done. Abraham was of faith, and if God commands, you follow. Even to the death of his only son, the son of promise. Joseph knew that his grandfather Isaac willingly submitted to the knife, obeying his father and trusting God. He knew that God had said to Abraham, or Abram at the time, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Do you suppose that knowledge had any effect on Joseph when he was sold into slavery in Egypt? Do you suppose he remembered that instruction of Jacob? That prophecy, that knowledge that Abram was given by God, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Do you suppose Joseph remembered that? He knew that his father, just short years preceding, had wrestled with God until he received God's blessing. Oh, what urgency was in Jacob. His loyalty to Jacob no doubt resulted from a close relationship that he had with this man of faith. I think that's indicated in this chapter. You see, Jacob must also have known that he had a son of faith in Jacob. And it's plain to see that of all Jacob's sons, Joseph was his favorite because he was the son of his beloved Rachel, and they both knew God by faith. You have any sons that know God by faith? There's a fellowship there, isn't there? He knew that he had been chosen by Jacob to be the recipient of the birthright, and he wore the long-sleeved coat which announced that choice to his brothers. Do you think he wore it to be proud, or he wore it because Jacob had given him that coat which announced the fact that he was the recipient of the birthright? He knew that the promise to make of the seed of Abraham a great nation had not yet been fulfilled, but he could see a glimpse of that in the fruitfulness of children that God had given Jacob. But oh, those children were going astray. How was God to do this? But Joseph had also known of the darker side of his family. You got any dark sides to your family? You got any skeletons in your closet that you don't like to mention? I suppose every family does. Well, Joseph had skeletons in his closet. He had a dark side of his family. He had known of the violation of his half-sister Dinah. He had witnessed the trouble his brothers caused in Shechem when they deceived the Shechemites. You know, it was kind of interesting that they were supposed to be there tending the flock. Well, just a few short years ago, they killed all the males in that area. Don't you suppose their relatives were quite angry? Maybe in adjacent towns they had heard about it. That was a pretty cocky thing to do, to go back there with their flocks and herds. But that's the kind of boys they were. He knew that Reuben had had incestual relations with his mother's handmaid, Bilhah, after Rachel had died. Waited till Rachel had died. He knew that this had greatly displeased his father, Jacob, and that this displeasure would cause Reuben to lose the leadership of the family. Jacob wasn't happy, and he expressed that. And he expressed that by giving Joseph a coat of leadership. Remember, Joseph was one of the younger of the boys. Only one more younger, Benjamin. Reuben was the oldest, probably at this time, 23, 24 years old. Should have had the birthright. He had heard of the casual attitude of his uncle Esau regarding the birthright and the stolen blessing that his father Jacob had received from the hand of his blind grandfather Isaac. A lot of deception in this family. Open up the closet and deception cries out at you in these families. He knew most likely of the deceit of Laban, who deceived the deceiver. Gotcha, Jacob. Oh, if you deceive, don't be surprised if you're deceived. We talked about God scorneth the scorner the other day. Go ahead and scorn, but don't be surprised when God scorns you. Go ahead and deceive, but don't be surprised when God deceives you. He knew of his distant cousin Lot's great loss of his family because of his compromise. Oh, that story was around. Well, read that story. How'd you like to have that skeleton in your closet? Oh, Uncle Lot and his daughters. Wouldn't want to repeat that story too often. He knew of his great-grandfather's deception when passing his wife off as his sister and his grandfather, who did likewise. Oh, it was true, yeah, they were sisters or half-sisters or cousins. Some sort of relationship that they could use for their benefit. He knew the deception. He knew of the deception of his father who fooled his grandfather until he received the blessing of the firstborn. But through all this, we are convinced by this account of his life that his faith was such that whatever befell him, he knew that God was with him. That's the kind of Joseph that we're studying here. Yeah, he had skeletons in his closet, but he had eyes of faith on God that dimmed those skeletons. See? We don't have to be governed by our skeletons, do we? If we have eyes of faith on God. By his actions, we are persuaded that he knew that whatever experiences God brought him through were to advance the promise made to great-grandfather Abraham, to grandfather Isaac, and to father Jacob to make of his family a great nation. Now get the point here. Get the point and apply this lesson to your own life. That whatever experiences God brings you through are to advance the promise. See? I look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And God brings me through things on the way to that city, and I'm to praise God for that experience. Yesterday I was on my way to glory, and it took three men to stop me from going to glory. Should I thank them or condemn them? See? But that's what we're persuaded. That those experiences that God brings us through are simply experiences that we're to go through on our way to the promise. Oh, that's the kind of attitude that is given to us of Joseph when he is sold into slavery. Most of us would say, this is a terrible thing, I'll never survive. Well, if you have that kind of attitude, you won't. See? Who are you trusting in? You're trusting in yourself? Well, if you trust in yourself, you ain't got much to trust in. See? You don't have anything to trust in if you trust in yourself, and you'll go down to the pit. But Joseph trusted in God, and wherever he was in slavery, he served God, knowing that he was on the way to the promise. See? Now, Joseph is not to be ranked higher on the level of faith than his fathers, for God never appeared to him as he did his father or Isaac or Abraham, but we're to see Joseph as the ideal son. We're to see Joseph as the ideal brother. We're to see Joseph as the ideal servant, and we're to see Joseph as the ideal administrator. A lot of lessons here. Do you fit in there somewhere? Someplace, some people fit in all of those. Some people are a son, some people are a brother. Hopefully we're all servants and some of us are administrators. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture for an education. And we shall see clearly Joseph standing out as a type or forerunner of Christ. You ask yourself the question, why is the book of Genesis 1/4 of Joseph? Well, it's not to exalt Joseph, it's to exalt Christ. For the whole book is to exalt Christ. And if we focus on Joseph without seeing Christ, then we've missed the message of the book of Genesis. For in all the pages of the Word of God, where can we find a life that more closely portrays the life of Jesus than the life of Joseph? Oh, we'll go into it as we go into it. And we'll see and we'll point that out and we'll say, now look at that. What does that remind you of? Oh, and immediately you'll come to the conclusion that reminds you of our Lord. See, so this is a forerunner. This is a type of Christ. The person or work of Christ will clearly be displayed in verse upon verse of these Genesis chapters of Joseph's life. That's what we should look at when we study this passage. It is the account of the work of the Holy Spirit in making a person like Christ. That's what we see in this passage. So, upon this, we enter the account of his life. In the remaining minutes, we'll just read the first 11 verses of this chapter, and then we'll go into it next week, Lord willing. Genesis 37, 1 through 11. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. That's an interesting passage. It almost commands me to stop and talk about it, but I'm going to wait until next week. But I hope you ponder that passage. Where was Isaac born? He was born in Canaan. He lived 108 years up to this point, I believe, or thereabouts. But yet the Bible calls him a stranger in the land of Canaan. It's kind of like the South. If you're not born here, you're a stranger forever. I've been down here longer than anywhere in my life, but yet I'm a stranger. A Yankee. You are too, brother. Just remember it. Don't get too high and mighty. And Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. That's an interesting phrase too. Say, these are the generations of Jacob, and then they stop talking about Jacob and start talking about Joseph. What happened? Well, you got to study to know what happened. And I've studied, and I'll tell you next week. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah. Called her Bil and Zil. Don't you suppose? His father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. That's an interesting phrase, their evil report, not his evil report. See, the tattletale is usually thought of as his evil report. No, the Bible says that it was their evil report. See? Let's get the shoe on the right foot. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Interesting story about that phrase. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Boy, Joseph had a tough go. Had 10 brothers. Benjamin was too little to hate him. Had 10 brothers hating him. Joseph dreamed a dream. On top of this, he dreams a dream, and then he tells them the dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Joseph, you seem to have a problem with encouraging hatred. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us?" As if they're high and mighty. How do they know what God wants to do here? See? "Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more." And they pricked up their ears and said, "Oh no, another dream from the dreamer. We got to listen to this." Have you ever listened to dreams? Have somebody ever, you know, get up at the breakfast table and say, "Well, I had a dream last night. Want to hear it?" "No, I don't want to hear it." You know, most dreams you don't want to hear, do you? See, he dreamed yet another dream. Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Yes, Jacob. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Got to give credit to Jacob for at least observing the saying. You know, that's what a person of faith ought to have, is to observe the saying, for it may be God's will. See? Don't know. All right, we'll stop there. And Lord willing, continue next week. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Father, thank you so much for the lessons that you've taught us today in Sunday school. We pray that you'd bless the services that we go into. Bless Brother Ashbrook as he speaks to us this morning and this evening. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. His name we pray. Amen.